You are invited to turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. When I think of memorial, I think of remembering. When I think of remembering, I think of the synonym to that, and that is don't forget. Don't forget slogans have been used many times and often used in many different situations, whether it's a parent telling their children, now don't forget, or whether it's someone at work giving instruction, don't forget these tenets of our company's positions, or to a salesman, don't forget to share this important fact about this product. Remembering is critical to the point of the information that is being shared. Furthermore, the person who's saying don't forget is basically saying, I have the authority to tell you this, and I want you to remember this, therefore do this. Lots of little suggestions behind the idea of remembering or don't forget. When it comes to Scripture, God oftentimes reminds His people, especially in the Old Testament, not that the New Testament doesn't use this idea, but in the Old Testament primarily, there's 148 times that the very word itself, remember, is used. 31 times is the word memorial used. It's fascinating to me that after certain events and activities, God gave His people certain instructions about the event that they just went through to erect something or to state something that would help not just that generation remember, but generations to follow. And that's why I think it's good that as a country, we do have a Memorial Day. It's different than Veterans Day. Veterans Day, we're honoring all veterans of the military forces. Memorial Day is where we're remembering those who gave their lives in serving this country. I'm not a big history buff, but I do love to dig in and find out why certain things were brought to the forefront in our country. Memorial Day being one of them. It's fascinating to me that it wasn't started in Congress. It was started by an unknown citizen at the time, pleading with the president, can we do something to remember? And then it gets enacted and it becomes a national holiday. My wife reminded me, I believe it was this morning, that, you know, it's a shame that people look at Memorial Day as the beginning of summer and nothing more. It's refreshing to our hearts as we drive from church to home and back from home to church. A number of places, residential homes loaded with flags. Growing up in a very patriotic home, we always had at least one flag, if not several flags out. And I suppose my wife and I have mirrored that part of my history is putting out American flags. Not just to show patriotism, but in days like this to remember the importance of the day. This is exactly what God was instructing Israel to do, was to remember a day, an event. And in this case, in Exodus chapter 12, it was a rather lengthy event that actually had a starting point, but then lasted for 40 years. And there were generations that needed to be reminded of this. Some of the remembrances and the memorials that were being brought into play had to do with things like Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Those two things became one. They became merged. When you think about Passover, you think about one family having one lamb for themselves. And if it was more meat than what they had for their little family, they could invite somebody else to participate in that. All of that is clearly outlined in the Old Testament. And then it went from individuals to homes, then to a nation, an entire nation. And there should be things in our lives that we remember. We had three classic cases of remembering, memorials, if you will, being shared with us this morning. They're testimonies of three sinners coming to know that Jesus was their only way of salvation. They share that. They give evidence of that, and they rehearsed it. They remembering. And then for the rest of us to hear their testimony, to hear how God got a hold of their heart, how Jesus met with them and saved them, and they responded by faith. We should all have a testimony like that, that we oftentimes remember. Let's never forget what Jesus did for us. Let's never forget why we're here. Let's never forget the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we do that every other month by observing the Lord's Supper. There are things that we ought not ever to forget. Raising up memorials is not just days to vacate or to kick your feet up. It's days to think, rejoice, and glorify the Lord. These memorials of life are all different to each of us. This in our text is a public call to observe and understand the benefits of an event that took place back for Israel before they became a nation, while they were growing under the oppression of Pharaoh in Egypt. There are several memories that are worth noting with regard to Israel's history, regarding what had happened. And then you will find within their 40-year story being shared with us in the Pentateuch, in the first five books, especially Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you have the moments where there was disobedience. Can't help but think that one of the great highlights or lowlights of the children of Israel was not soon after they had crossed over into the wilderness, that God invites Moses to go up into the mount in Exodus. And while he and God are meeting together, drafting, if you will, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, there's Aaron. Crazy Aaron. People want something tangible for a god to look at and to worship, so they build a calf, which is a picture of Exodus. Not Israel's God, Exodus, the Egyptians' God. Disobedience. Yes, we need to learn from our mistakes, learn from our disobedience. We also have memorials of Israel, how they treated God and how they were treated by God. Think about being in the wilderness 40 years. Shoes never wore out. God behind them. God in front of them, leading by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day, fire by night. Memorials, things to think about. God's faithful to his people. And yes, we're not Israel, but we are the church. God has made promises to us, promises that are similar, promises that we read that bring us great comfort, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, being one of the paramount promises that we embrace and believe and trust. A memorial has to do with reviewing history. Reviewing. I guess I'm starting to get old enough where I've got a lot of history to begin to reflect on. Things that Karen and I will discuss of, boy, things that God did for us, places that God has led us to and led us from and led us to others. String that review of history together, it becomes a memorial of God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's restoration, God's encouragement. In this particular text in Exodus 12, we see the establishing of a memorial of God's salvation. And again, that's important for each of us. Have you written out your testimony lately? Do you have it written out? That would not be a waste of your time. Write it out. Keep it in your Bible. Because one day, when you're gone, somebody's going to see your Bible. They're going to flip through it like I have done in other cases, reading all the papers, not so much the notes that are in the Bible that they took, but the things that they put in the Bible. And you read those, and they become memories, memorials, having left a written testimony of how Jesus saved them and the things that he's done in their lives, in your life. The children of Israel were to observe a memorial of God's deliverance for them from the hand of Pharaoh, led by God. There they are, staring at water. How are we going to get away from Pharaoh? God blows. Water separates. The ground is dry. They walk across safely. Some project anywhere from 600,000 to 2 million people having to traverse across to get to safety before Pharaoh and his armies get to them. It's a reminder of God's deliverance. You know, we have token memorials. I mentioned one of them is the Lord's table. Personally, we have calendars. Some of us have tried to make the adjustment to the calendar on our phones. Others of us still have them hanging on our walls or refrigerators. But when we write certain things and certain dates with certain people's names, that becomes a memorial. I remember that birthday. I remember that event. I remember that anniversary. I remember, and you may put down other things on that calendar. It's a public reminder. Then there's the family events. Again, I mentioned birthdays and anniversaries. But there are other things that we share. Family devotions. We're sharing God's word, but we're also sharing teaching. And I can, to this day, I can remember when we started having family devotions in my home after my father got right with the Lord. It wasn't at the table. It wasn't at a meal. We'd have our meal. The news was watched. And you better be close to home by 7 o'clock. Otherwise. And so, 7 o'clock, we had family devotions. Some of us sat on the floor. Some of us sat on the couch. Dad was always in his seat. And we would, whether it was reading a passage of scripture, or whether there was more said, or whether it was a devotional, or something that impressed my dad that we needed to hear. That memorial, that memory has been brought into another generation. It's brought into my family. We did the same thing with our children. Establishing a memory to become an actual event, an actual exercise. Establishing a memorial of God's salvation was prominent by God for his people. They were to keep the Passover. They were to remember all that went on. You see the details there. And our translation is very kind. But part of that story isn't just the fact that God delivered Israel out of Egypt and they got safely on the other side and then they were in the wilderness. It's how did that all happen? What events led up to that? So you go through the plagues. You talk about the death of the firstborn. And then we have a very clear description of the death of the firstborn, where there was for a period of time in the darkness of night, wailing. God didn't omit that. He told them that this was to be rehearsed, shared, that story needed to be presented. You know, it's not just an old person reminiscing about the past. It's about a generation committed to their God, about sharing what their God had done for them personally, so that when the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren to come, that becomes not just a story to be told, but a story to be embraced, a story to be believed, a story to be committed to. There's another passage similar to the one that we read in our scripture reading, and it's also in Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, verses 32 through 34. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness," the manna. Strange substance. Nobody really has any way of describing it. But it was from the hand of God. And he says, "When I brought you forth from the land of Egypt, this is how I fed the people. So I want you to save some of this. Keep it for your generations." Verse 33, "And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations, a memorial, a remembrance, a do not forget moment. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept," all part of that Ark of the Covenant and all the descriptions of that that will come into play later on in the reading of the Pentateuch. But verse 35, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan." Interesting. We go from establishing a memorial in chapter 12 to sharing a memorial of God's leading in Exodus 16. This is a personal moment. A personal moment to reflect upon how God fed you. How God fed me. We read the stories, and maybe some of you experienced these same similar events, where you didn't know where the next meal was going to come. How's this going to happen? We read stories like that in our Old Testament. There's the widow wondering how she and her little boy are going to eat. The prophet comes, supplies them enough oil to be able to eat for a long time. God provided. God continues to provide. It's a personal moment for us to reflect on God's faithful dealings. This is to be done for future generations. This was intended to open an opportunity to tell the story. If you look at verse 32, again, it says, "Moses, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, fill of it to be kept for your generations." There's a story to tell behind what you're doing here. "That they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you." And with seeing comes questions. With questions, there should come true answers. God knew that Israel needed these reminders of God's goodness to man. We're no less needy to be reminded. Will God do this? Will God meet that need? Will God supply? Will God save me? can God save me? All that I've done? Yes. And he saves to the uttermost. It's a complete salvation, and it's a complete blessing that God wants to bring upon his people. This was a time to reflect also on the mercies of God. Have you reflected recently on how merciful God has been to you? You know, I think many times I should have been dead a long time ago. Really? God in his mercy kept me alive to hear the story of salvation, to believe on it. And then even after being saved, having some of those moments in life where you think, I should be dead. That car, that truck should have hit me. I can't explain why I'm still driving in the same lane in the right direction. Or you just travel by and you see an awful scene on the highway and think, that could have been me. Why wasn't it me? Thank you, God, for your merciful kindness to me. Do we share those stories? Do we share those memories of God's leading? Have we established a memorial of God's salvation in our lives? Asking ourselves the question, how did we get here? How have we arrived at this point, at this place, on this very day and year? Some of us have stories about difficult home situations. Some have stories about years of military service or years of college, thinking that you'd never, ever graduate. Am I going to be a professional student and still never get out of off the first rung of academia? There's stories to tell. How those things became complete, how those things were worked out, how you were able to finish what you needed to finish, and how you got to where you are right now. This is so much more parallel than we can give credit to of what God was asking Israel to do in the Old Testament and what we can do to establish a testimony, not for just right now. Right now is important. But for our children and our children's children, and if you don't have children, you may have nieces and nephews, you may have cousins, share the story of the personal events, developing new relationships. Every child likes to hear how mom and dad came to know each other. How did they get married? Those stories don't get old. I hope they don't. We share the story. We want our children and grandchildren to understand how God brought two unlikely people together. Then we think of the stories of personal duty, not just the personal moments or the personal events, but the personal duties. You know, as a Christian, every Christmas time, I feel a duty. Not just as a pastor in our church, but as a husband, as a father in my home, to take that moment and remind the people in my home, however few or however many, of the story of the birth of Christ and for the reason why he came. Again, it's nice to be together as family, but there's a story to tell. There's a memorial to present. Easter. Likewise, remembering, talking about it, sharing, birthdays. I've shared with some of you a while ago that one of our two daughters, her birthday was a little more monumental than the first one. She got sick at a very young age. Children's Hospital was not a place that I ever thought I'd be in as a parent, let alone as a person. And for 10 days, 2 weeks, there she was. What looked like prison bars in Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. I remember those events. I remember the thought that those thoughts are as clear to me today as they were on that day in which we heard the doctor say, no infant should have a fever over 100. Now, is that the story about her being sick and being thought that she was going to be blind and deaf and all these other things? Well, that's part of the story, but the greater part of the story is this is what God did. God did this. God led. God permitted this for a purpose. God showed himself strong and mighty. It's about God in the events of our lives, not just us waddling in misery, wondering where God was. We knew where God was. Some of you have stories similarly. Those anniversaries. August 4th, I didn't forget, dear. August 4th. It'll be 39 years for us. Lots of stories. She's probably got more she could share about me than she could want to share about. But October 31st, 1968, what was that? That's when a small band of people gathered together with a desire to see a church, which would one day be called Maranatha Baptist Church, become something of a testimony in this area. The history of our church is significant. We talk about God moving in the least likely ways and with the least likely people. That's the way God works. We have times of reunions and pictures that we can look at and share. These are all memorials. We're rehearsing, we're talking. And for the believer, for us Christians, it should always, always include some kind of communication of God's greatness, goodness, mercy, and love. There's another section, and this is the last one I have for us this morning, is Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. I see this being one of the most clear presentations in the Old Testament, though there are others, but for me, this is one of the clearest examples of establishing a memorial, establishing a memory. And in Joshua chapter 4, beginning with verse 21, they were to set up, each tribe set up a stone, 12 stones they would take out of the Jordan. Verse 21, and he spake, Joshua did, unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know. You're going to tell them, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Well, how's that possible? Weren't you in Egypt, Grandpa? Yes, we were in Egypt. And here's the story. Go back to Exodus chapter 12, back into Exodus chapter 16. You tell that story. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Reverence him, respect him, obey him. When I think of American history, I mentioned to you before that the war that was going on in my young life was the Vietnam War. I can still, in my mind's eye, see vividly the pictures that would come across the Walter Cronkite and David Brinkley NewsHour. Seeing young men graduating from high school going off to war. Seeing neighbors crying because a loved one was killed in battle. Dog tags being worn around the necks of a lot of young people, of loved ones who are serving in Vietnam. For some of you, it's World War II and the awfulness of that war. That one had significant victory outlined for it. But these are memorials. Some have Desert Storm. Some have other battles since. I remember as a junior or senior in college, the significant victory that President Reagan had sent in troops to Grenada and delivered freedom there. All kinds of history lessons to glean from and to recognize God's hand in the midst of it. Not saying that God enjoys war. He's not a warmonger. But to understand the hand of God, that there are people, maybe people that you know, people that I know, that served in those different battles or those different engagements. Why would it be important to remember that? Not just because we won, but because God has a plan for everything. And while the world may not see it the way we see it through a biblical lens, the ultimate position is God is sovereign. He is in control, and his hand leads and guides and directs. And when he brings victory, very significant victory, all praise should go to him. All praise should go to him. In this Joshua passage, the purpose of these stones being set up was that people would walk by and see it. It was sort of like a banner in the middle of a vacant piece of property. It was stones piled up, 12, representing each tribe. The parents were to teach God's way and his work according to Deuteronomy chapter 6. There was more to learn than just the history lesson, but the personal significance of God did this for your great-grandfather, and God wants to do this for you too. He wants to lead you and guide you, protect you and save you and deliver you. He wants to keep you, and he wants you to obey him. He wants you to respect him. He wants you to love him. The psalmist wrote a memorial to music. A lot of the music that we sang are really memorials of people's thoughts about God in a time in their life that they wish to share with the rest of us. We're blessed to have that. Psalm 78 and Psalm 106, there would be references to those types of memorials put to music by the psalmist. But then there's Psalm 105, which I'd like for us to turn to as we tie this up here. Psalm 105 and verse 5. I was going to try to put this to music, but I got sidetracked with other things this week. But Psalm 105, verse 5, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. In the midst of the song is the challenge to remember. Don't forget. Don't forget his marvelous works. Don't forget his saving work. Don't forget his redemptive work. Don't forget his forgiving work. Don't forget the work that he is doing on each of us as Christians. His work never ceases on us. There are times where we'd like to kind of ask him for a little break, because there are moments where we feel like we're getting hit and clobbered from side to side. Every time we read the Bible, it's like, ah, da, da. That's God in his goodness, wanting to teach us and desiring to lead us to live a Christ-like life, to carry a Christ-like attitude. Remember the marvelous works that God has done, his wonders, his miracles, and the judgments that he has pronounced, he pronounced from his mouth. Today, as a nation, we remember the men and women who served in our military forces to keep our nation free for truth, for justice, for all, gave their lives to do so. I didn't serve in the military. Sometimes I feel a little guilty for that. I have a dad who served in the Air Force. Had an uncle who served in the Navy. Even as a young boy, I always esteemed that in my thinking. That's pretty special. Then you read about the Revolutionary War. Then you read about the ugliness of the Civil War. People willingly gave their lives. Not all of them were evil people. Many of them were made a profession of faith, we would say. Think of the Civil War on both sides. Two brothers in Christ, one on opposite ends of the battle. These are things to remember. These are things not to forget. Not that we're endorsing certain positions and ideologies. There are things to remember. We think of our national memorial. There are significant moments for us to consider beginning the practice of our own personal memorial. You should set one up, even if it's the slightest of writing out your personal testimony. Maybe having a testimony time once a year. When it's your birthday, you share how you got saved with your family. And if you have kids or grandkids that come over and it's their birthday, have them share how they came to know Jesus as Savior. And if they haven't trusted yet, then it becomes an opportunity for you to rehearse what Jesus did for you. How about offering a testimony of his faithful leading in your life? Has God shown himself faithful in leading you out of something, into something? Sure, he has. These become opportunities also, not just for family, but for us to share with coworkers and neighbors. Talk about how powerful our God is. Our God's not anemic. The world thinks our God is anemic, but he is not anemic. And the more we talk about our all-powerful God, the less of an opinion of him being anemic will filter through their lips. So outline your testimony. Establish a way in which you get to share and reflect on God's amazing mercy to you. Take the time to rehearse it. How God brought you from one point to the next point. Who but God could do that? So Karen and I have been doing for the last several months, almost a year, a couple of weeks, it'll be a year we've been here. And we just, in recent months, have just been talking about how God did all of this. It is absolutely almost incomprehensible for us to where we were 4 years ago to where we are today. Oh, but God, God alone moving and working and leading and guiding and being kind and gracious. Have you shared your testimony with anyone recently? Say, well, I don't know how to witness. By the way, this Wednesday, I'm going to share a little something about how to witness. Just not trying to get locked into a certain system, but just how to talk to somebody about Christ. Have you shared with anybody? That's usually the best way to start sharing a testimony in order to lead someone to trust Christ as Savior, if God should be pleased to do that in their life at that time. But again, talk about his powerful influence in your life. This is what God was wanting Moses and Joshua to do with his children. They weren't Moses' children. They weren't Joshua's children. They were God's children. This is God's church. You need to talk about the God of the church, the groom, the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ. Setting up true biblical memorials. You could make a connection with a national memorial celebration of some sort. Talk about Independence Day. I became independent from the bondage of sin when Jesus Christ came into my life. You can make those kinds of ties. That's the independence that I celebrate first and foremost. But I'm grateful for our national independence. But my purpose and burden this morning in sharing this message was just to simply encourage each of us that if it was important for the children of Israel to celebrate a moment, a time, an event, an activity of coming out of Egypt and ultimately would be led into the promised land, we have a similar story. And how much more should we take that opportunity to setting up memorials that reflect God's love and deliverance in our lives. May the Lord help us to actively engage on this and see what He'll do as we set up those things for His glory in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you today as we celebrate our National Memorial Day. As Christians, we are reminded of what you did for us. The ultimate memorial is that you, the Father, sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to become the payment for our sin, to satisfy the holy wrath of yourself, to appease that wrath through his sufficient sacrifice on the cross for our sin, so that all who call upon him by faith become a child of God, are welcomed into the family of God, not on the merits of ourselves, but on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. How you brought us out of the wilderness of sin, how you brought us out of the Egypt of sin, carried us across from the family of the devil to the family of God. We're thankful, Father, that your promise and hope of eternal life is a matter of fact, not a matter of unsettled confidence in a feeling or in church liturgy or in some dogma or under the approval of someone in a hierarchical position. We're thankful and grateful today for the Word of God, which is our memorial for life. It reminds us of your goodness. It reminds us of your mercy. It reminds us of your hatred for sin and our need to hate that sin likewise. Provides for us the reasons to grow in our understanding, to gain knowledge, but also in our understanding to apply Scripture appropriately and accurately. Father, perhaps there's someone here today that doesn't have the confidence of being saved, being a child of God, can't point to a time in their life when they truly cried out for your mercy and for your salvation, leaning only upon you and nothing else or no one else. Pray, Lord, today that they would establish a memorial by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. Father, help us to not get caught up in the winds of this world, but that we would find ourselves established and firmly planted in your word and clinging close to you each day and each step of the way.